not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go. All suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char. And let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where I have my featured guest again today by popular demand, Danny Cirrus, with events developing in Eastern Europe, where Ukraine has declared war on Russia in efforts to regain control of the Crimea, and where Russia is rapidly building up forces. It may be Tom Lehrer's lyrics are all the more appropriate, that we'll all go together when we go, every Hottentot and every Eskimo, because it could become a very hot war. Now, the Russian military is overwhelmingly stronger than the Ukrainian. And my anticipation is that because of the befuddled Biden, this completely incompetent president and administration in disarray, that this would not only be an ideal opportunity for Russia to reclaim Ukraine, but for China potentially to retake Formosa, and where Russian foreign minister has Lavrov, who's extremely good, has warned NATO and the U.S. to stay out of this. That would be very appropriate. On the other hand, you have this completely incompetent Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, declaring unwavering support for Ukraine. Frankly, I think that's purely political posturing on the part of the United States, but that Russia is very intent on removing what would become a thorn in its side after Victoria Nuland, during the Obama administration, expended $5 billion of U.S. taxpayers' dollars to foment a fake revolution in Ukraine to displace the president, the then president, who was very friendly with Russia, with a Western puppet. I believe this is going to happen, and it's going to happen rapidly. Meanwhile, right here at home on our southern border, The Biden administration is busing thousands of illegal aliens to red states for permanent status. Now, I've been pondering what's going on here. There's a very large number involved, 30,000. And it occurred to me after I shared the initial story with a number of my research collaborators that David Kinney, who's a California located attorney at law, with whom I've done many Truth versus News programs, came back to me and said they looked to him like unarmed military. And I took a second look, and I believe he's exactly spot on. They're the right age group. They look mostly 18 to 22. They're all very physically fit. They all have the right kind of deportment, haircuts, and so forth. After my years in the military, I think that David Kinney has it exactly right. So I have published, because this is so alarming, that they'd be transporting these military into red states where they could conduct guerrilla warfare that would wreak havoc in regions that ought not to be contested at all if we have to actually conduct some kind of military operation within the United States. An open letter to Donald Trump, who is the only prominent political figure astride the nation stage in whom I have any confidence. You can find it on my blog at jamesfetzer.org. Meanwhile, let me offer the following about the original article. Biden's border crisis is spreading nationwide. The new administration is pursuing an immigration policy dubbed catch and bus, with the aim of establishing undocumented immigrants in states in the interior of the United States. The buses are rolling in a steady daily succession out of Del Rio, one charter a day, 7 days a week. Before that, weeks of filling Greyhound buses, a microcosm of a much broader aspect of the unfolding mass migration crisis at the southern border that has attracted limited media coverage and occurs largely outside of public view. A new report I got on polling just before coming on the air reflects that Biden's taking heavy hits for his mishandling of the border crisis and that there is a discernible absence of enthusiasm here for what he's doing. Meanwhile, though you won't be able to see it until you watch the video version, here's a couple of minute video about what's going on. You'll be able to hear but not see. I will offer my comments, but I believe we have further confirmation for my hypothesis, which, by the way, has already drawn a half a dozen letters of support by others who are looking at the evidence and agreeing with me. Here we go. This is from the Center for Immigration Studies, Busing Migrants, the Final Leg of Smuggling.
One aspect of the fast-unfolding border crisis that gets far less attention than does the very visible front-end view of illegal entry by thousands of immigrants is what happens to them next. Media aren't talking much about where they go or how. What's happening most of the time is that they are boarding buses and heading into America's heartland. A conveyor belt of commercial and charter buses, just like this one in Del Rio, Texas, are carrying tens of thousands sight unseen from Texas, Arizona, and California borderlands northward. And they are dropping their Haitian, Venezuelan, Cuban, and Central American family units in Florida and New Jersey, Tennessee, Massachusetts, Michigan, North Carolina, Georgia, Kentucky, into large cities in Texas, such as Dallas and Houston. President Biden's administration stopped deporting families soon after his inauguration. That set off the gold rush of illegal entries over the border. Border Patrol was swamped almost immediately, but with nowhere to put them, DHS gave them papers and steered them toward buses, heading to settle with friends and family. By CIS's best count, in just the first few months of this catch-and-bus crisis, some 30,000 probably have been imported into U.S. cities. In turn, word of this incredible bonanza spreads south, drawing ever more. Many of them are Haitian families, like these in Del Rio, off to Florida and New Jersey.
What we're trying to do is send them with their own people the way so that they don't switch buses, and their language, they know a little bit of Spanish, but they don't know any English, so it's hard for them to try to get to their destinations, and sometimes they lose their flights, lose their buses if they switch. So that's why we got the charters and the charter companies, they just take them straight.
There are too many for all to fit on Greyhound buses, so nonprofit groups help arrange charter buses. The migrants have friends and family wire the money in or buy the tickets. The government is not paying, we're told. The families see this and just keep coming. This one from Venezuela, just out of the river.
Basically, they just walked up. We didn't even try. They're giving up. They're basically giving up. Said the border control.
Side of the next week. I'm Todd Bensman, Center for Immigration Studies.
Let me add, where are the buses going? They often drop their Haitian, Venezuelan, and Cuban passengers in Florida, New Jersey. Those from Nicaragua and other Central American nations have been delivered to Tennessee, Massachusetts, Indiana, Michigan, North Carolina, Georgia, Kentucky, and large cities such as Dallas and Houston. But this creates the opportunity for guerrilla warfare right here in the United States. Why would any president of the United States tolerate such a thing? It's because this guy is a disgrace. He's not even the real Joe Biden. He's a puppet. And forces that want to demolish America are in charge. The Center for Immigration Studies describes a catch-and-bus process for many illegal immigrants. According to Ortiz, borough border patrol agents and several migrants may turn themselves into border patrol voluntarily after their illegal crossings, knowing well the good things that will follow. They're taken to Border Patrol processing facility on the outskirts of town where their fingerprints and identifiers are registered. In the first month of November, December, January, and February, no one was getting tested for COVID. But after a public outcry, DHS contracted a private company to conduct COVID tests inside the Del Rio Border Patrol facility. Every immigrant they claim is now tested. Frankly, I don't believe it for a moment, but it's all meaningless anyway, because COVID is a huge scam. I would observe 30,000 immigrants is the equivalent of three divisions, three military divisions. I have Danny here to offer his views and opinions about all this. Danny, it's great to have you back on the show.
Thank you, sir. It's good to be with you. That's that's quite a story. I watched that video, and it's very concerning. I don't understand I kind of understand what's going on, but, the American people need to be alarmed. This is very, very concerning. This is a very serious issue. The fact that he is busing them around the country to particularly red states like Florida with just simply a piece of paper is very concerning. I mean, let's think about it. How are they going to take care of themselves? What are they going to do? What resources do they have? You know, are they going to be, voting illegally? What kind of diseases are they bringing to the United States? It just goes on and on, sir. It's very, very concerning.
Danny, our policies aren't even the equivalent of Mexico's. Mexico insists two basic conditions. You must be able to demonstrate you have something to contribute to the good of Mexico, number one. And in addition, you must be able to show that you have the financial resources to support yourself. If we were to simply implement those two very elementary conditions, virtually all of this illegal flow into the United States would end. And notice, it's been often observed you cannot have both open borders and a welfare state. where the Democrats are even putting a lot of these people up in hotel rooms at taxpayer expense. And I wouldn't be surprised if they even came with room service. Danny, it's insulting beyond belief.
Yeah, it's, you know, I'm trying to search for the words that just being a, you know, a U.S. citizen who worked his whole life, the fact that taxpayer money is going to be taking care of these people, you know, it sends out the message that anybody that wants to come to the U.S. can come here and join the welfare state. It highly reminds me, sir, of the invasion that happened in Germany, where we've seen the long lines of people coming in off the boats and invading Germany a few years back. And then we all know what happened to Germany. We know the crimes that started to happen in Germany. You know, it was a complete disaster. Germany started kicking people out of hotels and putting them in hotels. You know, the crime just went through the roof. There were people making, you know, Mayday type of videos on YouTube and other social media, asking the world for help against this invasion. People had migrants laying around on their lawn in their neighborhoods, you know, always knocking on their door, asking for food, asking for things. It was just a horrible situation, sir. And, you know, we have these people coming here with no resources. And I think your article is very good in asking what's going to happen to these people. Where exactly are they going? And who's going to be taking care of them? What was the paper that they were given? Do they have to show up to court? If they don't show up, exactly what is the plan after that? There's a lot of unanswered questions. And this needs to be very, very concerning to all Americans, sir.
It appears to me to be a gross form of treason being committed out in the open, right in front of God and everybody, by the Biden-Harris administration. I mean, after all, a primary responsibility of the president is to protect the safety and well-being of the American people. You cannot do that by trucking in tens of thousands of foreign immigrants where you have no idea who they are, what they're about, and where, as I observed, is very, very troubling to me. But in my opinion, they just reek of military background, reek of military background. Now, what would you think of trucking in 10,000 Cubans, where the United States has been grossly abusive to Cuba for 60, 70, 80 years? I mean, it's outrageous, Danny, outrageous. I hold Biden-Harris responsible, but the problem is something has to be done before the situation becomes truly catastrophic, which is why I'm doing my best to blow the whistle, and loudly. Meanwhile, associates of mine agree that the Democrats have committed a major blunder by responding to the new Georgia laws about voter registration and voter ID by claiming that it's racist in having the Major League Baseball move its All-Star game out of Atlanta. Now, Danny, this isn't something that would occur a year from now so they could reorganize, regroup, and replan. This is 3 months hence. All the contracts have been made, all the vendors, all the transportation, people have airline tickets, they have hotel reservations. This is pissing off a lot of people. And Major League Baseball is going to take a hit. The commissioner, Robert Manfred, seems to have his head where the sun doesn't shine. He claims he's engaged in thoughtful conversations with different voices in the baseball world, and decided the best way to demonstrate our values as a sport is to move the All-Star game out of Georgia. But they have no idea where it's going to be held. You can't just take a massive event like that and pull it up out of one situation and location and plunk it down in another. This all requires extensive planning in advance, typical requiring about a year. Meanwhile, Georgia Governor Brian Kemp signed election reform laws that require photo ID for absentee voting, mandatory Dropbox security, mandatory early voting dates, among other measures. I was proud to sign to ensure elections in Georgia are secure, fair, and accessible. I appreciate the hard work of members of the General Assembly to make it easy to vote, but hard to cheat. In response, Manfred, whom I regard as a complete idiot, wrote on Twitter, "Over the last week, we've engaged in thoughtful conversation with clubs, former and current players, the Players Association, and the Players Alliance to listen to their views. I've decided the best way to demonstrate our values as a sport is by relocating this year's All-Star Game and Major League Baseball draft." He says the Major League fundamentally supports voting rights for all Americans and opposes restrictions at the ballot box. Biden had encouraged them to move the game, but it's going to be a disaster. The governor observed, "It's obvious that neither Biden nor his handlers have actually read the law, which I signed yesterday. The bill expands voting access, streamlines vote counting procedures, and ensures election integrity. The 95-page law adds a number of changes to the way Georgians vote, including requiring photo or state-approved ID to vote absentee by mail. It also mandates that secure drop boxes be placed inside early voting locations with constant surveillance and expands early voting access across the state. There's no way it can possibly satisfy Biden's depiction of this law as a blatant attack on the Constitution and good conscience. The man is a moron." Meanwhile, Trump has released a statement: "Boycott baseball and all companies interfering with fair and free elections. Are you listening, Coke and Delta? I stand with the president here. He's 100% correct. And politicizing major sports like the NFL, the NBA, and now the NFL and Major League Baseball is insanity. We like baseball and other professional sports because it's something non-political, something we can come together and not be reminded of the politics that have so divided this nation. They are destroying themselves by denying us the opportunity. Meanwhile, surprise, surprise, YouTube has deleted 2.5 million dislikes from Biden White House videos. They're trying to pretend everyone likes Joe Biden. The Google-owned video platform allows users to give a thumbs up or a thumbs down. It's however had the policy for the last 2 years to remove likes and dislikes it considers spam. The White House videos have seen these kinds of interventions on an ongoing basis, but it's only the dislikes that are disappearing. The channel has posted more than 300 videos that have garnered nearly 3.7 dislikes, of which 2.5 million have been removed. The author of the website tracking this began doing so on January 26, publishing his data and his methodology. Even after these interventions, the videos have nearly six times more dislikes than likes on the average. Think about it. This is a guy who's supposed to have won the greatest number of popular votes in American history, around 80 million. Well, it certainly doesn't appear that the likes and the dislikes reflect it any more than did their Twitter supporters, where Trump had around 90 million, Biden about 26. There was no way he was going to beat Trump, and he didn't. Meanwhile, YouTube and its owner Google have long faced accusations of political bias. The companies have said their products are developed and run as politically neutral. But employee accounts and leaked internal memos show the companies are infusing politics. It turns out, as Robert Epstein, the editor-in-chief of Psychology Today, reported to Congress, Google shifted millions of votes in the November 3rd election by skewing its search results and other tools. Google's search results were strongly biased in favor of liberals and Democrats. This was not true on Bing or Yahoo, Epstein told Tucker, referring to the data from more than 700 voters who work with him to monitor what results they were receiving from channels. Very stunning stuff. Danny, your thoughts?
Well, you know, Major League Baseball, sir, is falling on their sword. This is not a good move, in my opinion, on what they're doing. Moving the game. They're basically showing the American people. What it shows and tells me is they're fighting to preserve election fraud. Okay, I want to say that very clearly. They're actually fighting and showing the American people that they support election fraud. You know, it's ridiculous. The laws in Georgia don't even go far enough as far as I'm concerned. And for them to get involved like this and play the same old drum that, you know, this is going to hurt minorities. Minorities can't get an ID. It's ridiculous. Anybody can go to DMV around the United States and get an ID for next to nothing. It's just ridiculous. And this strikes and reminds me again of what the NFL did. We saw the NFL, and we saw the numbers go down in the NFL. I was so disgusted with the NFL, I quit watching several years ago. And once in a while, I'll watch a college game. But I've been very disgusted with sports. And now to see baseball jump on this Democratic bandwagon to basically say, you know what, you will allow the fraud to happen, or we're going to mess with your game like this, and we're just going to go ahead and disrupt. I just say they're falling on their sword. I hope everybody boycotts them. I'm not going to watch it. I know my family has pulled out and is very, very disgusted. We talked about this over the holiday. And I'm done with baseball, period. I used to play baseball when I was a young kid. I love that game. It's a great game. But when you get in there and start meddling with our election and trying to actually preserve fraud, that's gone way too far. I think this is going to resonate.
Even Democrats in Georgia are upset, damn it. Here we are at the break. We'll be right back with Danny Suras.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Oh, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, with Danny Suras, my guest again. Fauci says he's too busy to get involved with the border amid concerns of the COVID-19 positive immigrants. Can you imagine he's too busy? Fox News' Neil Cavuto asked Fauci a series of questions about the torrent of criticism from prominent Republicans who've accused the infectious disease expert of staying mum on COVID-19 positive illegal immigrants, and who've complained he's not using his influence to persuade the Biden administration to do more to stem the border surge. Cavuto cited remarks by Lindsey Graham, who in a tweet Friday became the most recent GOP lawmaker to take aim at Fauci, saying he needs to go to the southern border and witness in person the biggest super spreader event in the nation: President Joe Biden's immigration policies. Cavuto added, these are largely coming from Republicans who have serious animus towards some of the things you recommend, and maybe just you. Fauci sought to deflect it, saying he's just a symbol of things they don't like, that they're opposed to. It's a little bit bizarre, says Fauci. But Cavuto replied that he thinks Graham was getting at that, given the COVID-19 outbreak and all the thousands who've been crammed in there, the holding facilities along the border. Maybe someone with your expertise should be down there to monitor how worrisome the situation is. Do you think it could be a super spreader event? To which the answer could not be more obvious. So Fauci again diverts. Obviously, it's a very difficult situation at the border. We all know that. Adding he believes the Biden administration is doing all it can to alleviate the problem. Having me down at the border, that's really not what I do, Fauci said. I develop vaccines. I develop countermeasures. I mean, having me at the border, I don't know why they're saying I should be at the border. And of course, Fauci, Tony the Rat, is actually in the business of inflicting mass murder on the American people. Danny, I believe when all is said and done, that Tony the Rat will be responsible for more deaths, more loss of life in the United States, and the numbers are going to be in the millions, than all of our foreign adversaries, Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, Emperor Hirohito combined.
And by the way, they've just done a poll. Can Kamala Harris fix the border crisis? Because remember, Biden has designated her. They got a staggering response. Yes, she can. 0.94. No, she can't. 99.6. I think that's got it about right, Danny. Meanwhile, the Wisconsin Supreme Court has struck down the mask mandate imposed by Governor Tony Evers, who's turned out to be a complete and total mediocrity. Why should I be surprised? The 4-3 ruling by the conservative-controlled court is a latest legal blow to attempts by Evers to control the coronavirus. Comes after they voted to repeal the mask mandate, only to see Evers quickly reissue it. Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemieux applauded the ruling, accusing the governor of abusing his emergency powers, which is obviously the case. The court had ruled that any public health emergency issued by Evers is only valid for 60 days and cannot be extended without approval of the legislature. Danny, this guy is such a nitwit, he doesn't understand that wearing masks is bad for human beings and other living things, where Anthony Fauci himself and his colleagues did a study of the Spanish flu and discovered that most of the deaths were not from the flu, but from bacterial pneumonia, where it turns out wearing masks promotes bacterial pneumonia infections. So here's Tony Evers tweeting, "Wear a mask, help save lives," when precisely the opposite is the case. I find all this unbelievably disgusting. But then the Democrats have sought to convert the coronavirus pandemic to their political benefit. In fact, they applauded it, since it would curtail Trump's massive rallies, which were an inspiration to the nation, explain away why they were hiding Joe Biden in the basement, and undermine the economy, which was Trump's greatest strength going into the election. Your thoughts, Danny?
Well, you know, Dr. Fetzer, this, to me, this whole entire thing is just a globalist attack on the United States. You know, Donald Trump was president for 4 years. He set back their 20-30-year plan. Now they seem to be accelerating the plan. You know, we started off with the migrants coming in unchecked. I believe Fauci should go to the border too. You know, Tony the Rat doesn't even begin to describe this guy. He's one of the biggest hypocrites I think we've ever seen. I mean, if you look back at his earlier papers that he wrote, even reporting that HCQ works on coronaviruses, you know, does he have a short memory? Does he forget that he published that paper in the Journal of Virology some years ago? He's a puppet. He's doing what he's told. I don't know exactly who his handlers are. Of course, I have an idea who they are. But yeah, if he went to the border, he would be very disgusted at what he's seeing, especially being a medical doctor and seeing all of these people coming in, not going through a quarantine. You know, way back in the day, when migrants came to the United States, they had to go to a place where they had to be quarantined for a number of days and be checked before they would be allowed in the United States. At least they checked them back then. But just to let them openly cross into the United States like this without checking them, without putting them in some sort of quarantine, there's no telling what they're bringing into this country. I mean, they could be sneaking in any types of viruses. They could be incubating, and then they cross over, and then they put them into the city, and that would just completely wreak havoc. You know, the globalists have lost control totally, and I think they're just trying to inflict as much damage on the United States as possible. It's very, very concerning, sir. All Americans need to wake up, and they need to wake up very quickly.
Oh, Danny, I couldn't agree more. It's absolutely unbelievable. Meanwhile, we have Biden's America thugs attack an old man. The old man fights back. So the police arrest the old man and the thugs go free. Danny, this is just outrageous. He was on a cruise with fellow brave patriots in Salem, Oregon, when the confrontation took place. Antifa decided they were white supremacists, of course, because they were white, and that they had to be stopped. They blocked their path, and a tussle ensued. The patriots weren't going to accept this without a fight. An older man ended up being caught up in the fray. The truck he'd driven during the cruise was trashed, thugs pummeling it with debris. He was struck, his window shattered. Once he got out of the truck, the situation went from bad to worse. You'd think they would realize they were hurting an old man, but it didn't matter to them. Objects were hurled at him as the group closed in. He realized he was surrounded and had no chance but to draw his weapon. The pistol he produced, he racked around. At that time, Antifa realized they had officially messed with the wrong dude. But so the police show up, and instead of helping the old man, the Antifa lowlifes were of greater concern to the officers. They took him and arrested him. Oregon's a wild place. We're not surprised their officers felt this way. They care more about protecting liberals and making sure its citizens are not being assaulted. As long as the Antifa thugs were okay, they could have cared less about the old man. They arrived on the scene, drew their weapons, ordered the old man onto the ground. Couldn't they tell he was simply doing his best to defend himself? The officers need a serious exercise lesson in how to police their neighborhoods. The old man complied with their orders. The gun was tossed into the bed of his pickup truck. He got down on the ground with his arms outstretched. The riot cops came sprinting in. He remained down. He was told to stay on the ground, keep his fingers locked around his head. Danny, the militants thought it was funny, and they began to cheer on the police. These are the same people who want them stripped of their funding. Please defund the police, unless I'm in trouble because I picked on the wrong person, of course. That's when they are awesome. Great work, officers. Danny, this is embarrassingly bad. Meanwhile, we have 72% in favor of requiring photo ID to vote. I mean, what could be more obvious, Danny? I find all this embarrassing. And, of course, what they're doing to us if we have to travel is beyond preposterous. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, that story there that you show in Oregon is very concerning. It reminds me of a story that I saw this last weekend that happened in, I believe it was Tennessee, where Black Lives Matter went into a salon and harassed a bunch of Asian patrons and their customers. It was on video, went viral. I'm not sure if you saw it, but when I saw it, I'm thinking, okay, they were in that store for several minutes. They were in black uniforms. They had like ski masks over their face, and they went in there to harass them, and they verbally abused them, told them they were going to do this or that. We'll be back. We're going to run you out of town. I mean, they were acting like they had some sort of authority, like a government official. You know, the whole thing was captured on video. And when any American would watch that, it'd be like, who the hell are you? And where are the police? Why aren't they being arrested? This all got caught on video. There was multiple crimes committed in the video. And we'll have to see what ends up happening. But the fact that that city is allowing this to take place and allowing these thugs to go business to business like this and harass people openly when they're getting caught on video, sir, this is a complete breakdown of the local law enforcement, the mayor's office and the DA's office. And this is a very, very scary trend that needs to be watched by Americans. We need to keep our eye open for this because this is going to lead to an absolute civil disturbance and can turn in to a major, major disaster. It's only a matter of time, in my opinion, till Asian Americans arm up. And we know many of them are armed anyway, and they're going to take some kind of action. They're not going to allow themselves to openly have their businesses destroyed by these militants. And this man that pulled out his firearm, it could be possible, sir, because I don't know all the details that the police ended up showing up at the last minute and just see a man waving at the pistol, and they didn't catch the first part of the incident, so they don't know why he pulled out his handgun. But I'd be very surprised with the pictures and the photos at this point if there's going to be any charges placed on him based on he obviously pulled out his weapon for a reason. So most of the charges, in my opinion, will end up being dropped. But, you know, it's just not a good thing to get confronted and pull out a gun inside of a crowd like that. And, you know, the best defense is not to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Again, these cities, if you live in a city, my advice would be if you live in a city where you see this kind of militant crime, where you see thugs like this going around and you see the district attorney, you see the mayor not acting and allowing these kind of people to run around unabated in your city. If you really love that city, I would suggest going to a city council meeting and voicing your opinion and see what your officials say and ask them, what is your plan of action to stop these thugs? Are you going to allow this? And for some reason, if they signal you and tell you, you know what, this is a way of life in this city, we're not going to do anything, then you know that your city has been overrun with corruption, and it might be time for your safety to go ahead and move somewhere else, and that's what I would do.
Danny asking the public to uproot themselves because the mob is running wild is truly outrageous. We had another event that looks very suspicious, where I appreciate your expert commentary. The latest deadly breach of the Capitol's perimeter could delay the gradual reopening of the building's grounds to the public, as lawmakers were eyeing a return to more normal security measures. Capitol Police Officer William Billy Evans, an 18-year veteran of the force, was killed Friday when a man rammed his car into a barrier outside the Senate side of the building. The driver, identified as 25-year-old Noah Green, was shot and killed after he got out of his car and lunged at police with a knife. That's what they're telling us, Danny. The death came less than 2 weeks after the Capitol Police removed an outer fence that had temporarily cut off a wide swath of the area to cars and pedestrians. Representative Tim Ryan of Ohio said about the fencing, nobody wants it there, but the question is the environment safe enough to be able to take it down? In the meantime, maybe the fence can prevent some of these things from happening. Meanwhile, Facebook quickly scrubbed the Capitol assailant's Facebook page where he was praising Erafon. This guy is, the leader of the Nation of Islam, has taken a very strong stand against vaccinations, Danny. And I believe this whole event was set up to smear him. Get this. Describing himself on the since-deleted page as a follower of the Nation of Islam, the 25-year-old Green effusively praised the radical Farrakhan and his predecessor Elijah Muhammad as incarnations of Jesus Christ, whose teachings change his life. A spokesperson told Facebook they took it down. Our thoughts are with the Capitol Police. We have designated the incident under our dangerous individuals and organizations policy, which means we have removed the suspect's accounts from Facebook and Instagram and are removing any content that praises, supports, or represents the attack or the suspect. So, Danny, how can anyone know what the hell is going on? They won't even learn about it. I do think they varied the cadence, as they did in Boulder, to have persons were not white Christian Trump supporters because they want to go for the guns. But in this case, it's not even involving guns, but a knife. Here we got a story about him. The man who rammed the car has been identified as Noah Green. He was armed with a large blade when he was shot dead. A follower of the Black Nationalist Nation of Islam movement, for which I've seen lots of reasons to praise. He had only seconds to watch the Facebook page before it was deleted. Danny, your thoughts about this? And I think there's at least one other recent attack that looks like another in what's going to be an endless string of false flags. Your thoughts?
Well, this story to me, sir, is highly suspicious. You know, again, not everything that we see in the news is a false flag. So I just want, you know, viewers, listeners to understand that, you know, I look at different details and I can't look at every incident. But I did look at this. And one of the things that was troubling is I did a background on this particular individual, Noah Green. And they reported that he was 25 years old and he was from Indiana. Okay, so that's easy enough. The problem is, sir, that he did not come up in any of the record searches or any of the criminal databases that I looked through. And that's very troubling to me. He should have popped right up immediately, being from Indiana. So then further what I did is I did a search of the United States and expanded it in case they got the state wrong. And the problem is, I couldn't find anybody that age in the entire United States came up in the database, which was even more concerning. There were a few that were close in age, but they turned out that they were white and not black. And then there was one black person that was a few years younger, the only black with that name that I could find out of the state of New York. So, you know, when I look back and I analyze that whole situation, okay, if you're standing there and you're one of the Capitol Police and you're on guard, you're watching and your eyes are, you know, you're looking around, the car smashes into a concrete barricade, which we can see there. And then supposedly, if you're sitting there watching him, you see the person get out of the car after smashing his car to that degree and then pull out a knife, and you're watching it and you see him start to approach you. Are you not going to get your weapon out? Of course you are. I'm very concerned on how is it that he could have crashed his car like that, had time to pull out his knife after a crash like that, and be cognizant enough to approach an officer or run after an officer without a knife. Of course he knows that he's going to be shot. And I find it hard to believe that he was able to reach an officer without being shot. The whole story does not make any sense on how that sort of stuff goes down. My opinion on this, sir, is this does look like a false flag. And I'm only wondering, did they use a black person in this false flag? Did they use it to send a message to the police? Did they use it to tell the police that, you know, a person of color is attacking them and they need to be on guard? I mean, the police are already at wits with the black crime in the black cities around the country, in the inner cities with the crime. And I'm not sure what their whole MO of the story is. I keep thinking about it over and over again. To me, this seems like a racial division type of story. Possibly they just want to send that message to the public. You know, we saw the sports figure Charles Barkley come out, and he said, that he came right out, sir, and said publicly that the elites are dividing whites and blacks and pitting them against each other in order to conquer us. And I thought, man, what a statement to come out from the former NBA star, Charles Barkley. And I could not agree with him more, actually. And for him to say, for him, someone of his status, his wealth, and, you know, his fame, to come out and say that, he is spot on. I don't know, this one reeks, sir. I'm going to need more details to look into it, but it just doesn't make any sense. The guy in the car would have done something else other than drive his car into a barricade and then get out with a knife like that, knowing he's going to get shot. It just doesn't make any sense, and I'm not buying it, sir.
Good stuff, Danny. Just on a lighter note, speaking of Sir Charles, the Final Four, of course, was played on Saturday, and he said of Baylor that they looked scary as they ran away with their game. Meanwhile, the Zags had their hands full with UCLA, where it was tied with just seconds to go, and a shot from nearly midcourt unbelievably went in. It's the kind of shot that might go in, I don't know, one time in 100. It was a great game, but I think we can expect tonight with a national championship game that Baylor is going to give Gonzaga all that it can handle and more, I would add. And it turns out that in three previous occasions, we've had a number one team that was undefeated go to the national championship. In all three of those cases, they lost. I am predicting Baylor's going to prevail and make it happen for number four tonight. Don't miss it. It'll be a great game. Meanwhile, with Danny here, we do want to take your calls, but we have other stories to cover. So I'm going to hold off taking calls until further on in the program when I'll give out the number and Mitchell will handle your call. I'm extremely pleased that Danny is here. Meanwhile, before we hit the break, perhaps we can squeeze in one more. Hillary rips gun worshippers who shamelessly exploit people's unwarranted fears. Danny, how much sense does this make when you have the Democrats talking about defund the police? Hillary says, we talk so much about the right to bear arms in America. What about the rights of everyone else, the right to go to work, to school, or to the grocery store without fear? But the fact is that the more guns, the less crime. The Democrats are promoting crime by creating gun-free zones where only the criminals have guns. So I'm very glad that we have a number of developments that are moving in the opposite direction, such as the Iowa governor signing a bill into law letting residents buy, carry guns without permits. I guarantee a crime is going to go down in Iowa, and it's going to go up anywhere the Democrats are able to impose further gun bans, which are simply insane. Americans aren't buying it since they're defunding the police. They know the police are not going to be there to protect them, Danny. And if they cannot protect themselves, they're going to be completely helpless in the face of the riots, the looting, and the killing by Antifa and Black Lives Matter, which the Democrats themselves supported openly. If the gun sales are going through the roof, many first-time buyers, many of them Democrats, who got the message. Iowa now becomes one of 19 states that no longer require law-abiding citizens to get a permit before carrying a gun for self-defense. That's all to the good, Danny. All to the good. Would you not agree? We'll pick it up with Danny Siras when we return from the break. Thank you for being here.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years.
to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
This is Jim Fetzer with Danny Siras. We're covering a number of stories before we take your calls today, where Iowa has now become one of 19 states that no longer require law-abiding citizens to get a permit before carrying a gun for self-defense, where the other 18 that have eliminated the requirement are Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, Idaho, Kansas, Kentucky, Maine, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, New Hampshire, North Dakota, Oklahoma, South Dakota, Utah, Vermont, West Virginia, and Wyoming. And I expect more to be added to this list. Democrats have opposed the bill, claiming it's dangerous and reckless disregard for the safety and well-being of Iowans, but they obviously have never studied the issue. Where it turns out that Americans use guns for self-defense millions of times every year and save hundreds of thousands of lives of American citizens. When my dear colleague, Dr. Ewan, superimposed a 2016 electoral map over a 2014 murder map, it showed that the overwhelming majority of murders occurred in cities controlled by the Democrats, where they have created free fire zones by prohibiting law-abiding citizens from carrying guns. Danny, this is as stupid as it gets. You cannot protect innocent people by not allowing innocent people to protect themselves. This is insane. Meanwhile, we have a fascinating development in Calgary, where a pastor shouted down the police interrupting a church service during Holy Week, telling them to get out Nazis. I've got the video here. Listen to this. What an inspiring example.
Please get out. Get out of this property. Immediately get out. Get out of this property immediately. out. I don't want to hear anything out of this property immediately. I don't want to hear a word. Out. Out. Out of this property immediately until you come back with a warrant. Out. 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 Out of this property. Immediately out. Immediately go out and don't come back. Don't, I don't want to talk to you. Not a word. Out of this out of this property. Immediately out. I don't care what you have to say. Out. Out. Out of this property, you Nazis. Out. Out. Gestapo is not allowed here. Immediately, Gestapo is not allowed. Out. Do you understand English? Get out of this property. Go. So go. Go. And don't come back without a warrant. Out, Nazi. Out. Out. You understand? Nazis are not welcome here. Out. And don't come back without a warrant. Do not come back without a warrant. You understand that? You're not welcome here. Nazis are not welcome here. Gestapo is not welcome here. Do not come back, you Nazi psychopaths.
Danny, I'm just ecstatic about this guy's performance. His name is Artur Paluski, the pastor of the cave at the Dulham Church in Calgary. Shouted down the police who interrupted. They interrupted his service, Danny. Please get out immediately. Get out of this property. I do not want to hear a word. Out of this property, you Nazis. Gestapo is not allowed here. Out, Nazi. Out. Nazis are not welcome here. Do not come back here, you Nazis, psychopaths. Danny, I think he got it exactly right. Exactly right. Your thoughts?
Well, we got two stories there, so I want to I'll start with that one, I guess, and we'll go back to the last one. You know, in a way, I don't blame them. I have to say, I wonder what they were doing there. I wonder if somebody called the police for some reason in the neighborhood. I'm not exactly clear on why the police were there, but for them to go in and interrupt, you know, church services, I wonder if that was going to be some kind of COVID harassment. It makes me wonder. But I don't blame them. I mean, come back with a warrant. You know, if they didn't have a warrant, there wasn't a police emergency taking place in the building right there. It didn't seem like they had a legitimate reason for being there unless, again, there was some sort of an emergency, something going on immediately around that property in that neighborhood that we don't know about. So, you know, again, I don't blame him, sir, for being like that. I would like to know more details on why the police were called into that neighborhood, why the large number. Seemed like there were an awful lot of guys going into that church when one would have survived. You know, I also think if it would have been some sort of emergency, he could have simply politely interrupted and tried to speak to the pastor one-on-one and told him immediately what the problem was. But to me, that almost looked like some kind of a COVID restrictive kind of a thing. But
oh yeah, that's what it was, Danny. Those were the COVID police. You're absolutely right. Canada's gone whole hog. They're arresting people. All kinds of outrageous incidents are occurring. People who don't put their mask on fast enough are being harassed and even arrested. It's incredible, Danny. They've got the equivalent of FEMA camps. Canada has gone stark, raving COVID mad.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of different incidences of police and treating people without the mask there, and it's, you know, it's disgusting. This is all leading, sir, to some sort of a civil event in these multiple countries. You know, Canada has guns, but the citizens are highly restricted there. And, you know, for them, it's almost like they're attacking their own people. They're using their police to do it. They're attacking their liberties. And to go into a church like that, it's none of their business. And they need to stay out. People need to be left alone. I wanted to touch, though, sir, an important thing on that gun story in Iowa, if I can talk about that.
Please.
You know, the constitutional carry movement is a double-edged sword. I think it's a good thing. Okay, I want to preface it but I do believe it's a good thing because it cuts a lot of the red tape. What I think is the politicians are in fear of there being some Democrat stronghold cities maybe in their midst. So because of that, and I'll get to the details on that, sir, and it's very important to understand this. I think they believe that they have some Democrat strongholds in their midst because that's why they're putting this in, to allow people right away to carry a firearm in public on them without the permit. Now, here's the kind of double-edged sword on it. The only issue that I have with that is the following. At least, you know, maybe they should sign a statement or something that's saying they will get training. But the problem is, if somebody buys a firearm, sir, and I've seen this before, I've seen this at shooting ranges in different places, someone buys a firearm with no training, okay? They've never owned a firearm before, and they've never shot a firearm before. And the problem is, sometimes you get people that buy firearms, they've never shot a gun, okay? They take it home, they put it in a drawer, and because they think that they've seen how they work on television, maybe they've shot a BB gun or, you know, a low caliber rifle, maybe a 22 at some time, they just automatically think that they know how to use a firearm and be proficient with it. I've seen where people can get into trouble if they ever go to actually use the firearm. You know, they don't know the laws on when they can actually brandish a firearm and use it, which could cause them a lot of problems, because you have to have a reason to pull out a firearm, and you have to understand the legalities of every time you pull that firearm. If you're going to shoot somebody, how you're responsible for the bullets if you miss. So there's a lot of things that happen. I'll give you an example. I'm just going to use you and me for this example. Let's say, for instance, me and you are together and we're in a restaurant. We're just having some coffee in some sort of a restaurant, talking about events. And somebody comes in to rob this particular restaurant, let's say, okay? And me and you happen to not be carrying. Let's just say me and you are not carrying a firearm. We're just sitting there engaged in a conversation. And somebody in that restaurant pulls out a firearm that just bought their firearm. And they've never had any training, okay? What I would want to know is, I'd be grateful that they're willing to use their firearm in our defense, but I want to make sure that if they have to give shoot rounds off, I want to make sure that those rounds hit their target and they go where they need to go. I don't want them coming across my table or coming at me, going off the ceiling or hitting any other patrons in the restaurant. So my message on this, sir, and I'm pretty clear about this, if you're going to buy a firearm and you live in a state that requires no permit, okay, for one, if they do have a permit, okay, if they have a permit process, I highly recommend that you get one, because it is always good to still have that permit. Let me give you another example. Idaho came up with what's called an enhanced permit, okay? It's very interesting. And the reason why they came up with it, I actually spoke to a legislator there. The reason why they came up with it is they want you to be able to go to all the states around Idaho, and they want you to be able to cross over and carry your firearm and not be in violation. So they went to all the states that surround Idaho. They created an agreement with those states, and they came out with this enhanced permit that allows you to carry your firearm as you cross over the lines, you know, to do whatever you're going to do in the adjacent states. And I think that's a really good idea. But, you know, it just lets the police know that you've been background checked and that you've been trained. But again, if you live in one of these states where you can buy a firearm, okay, I would just highly encourage somebody to get training and get as much as you can, not just a safety class on how to load and unload your firearm, put it in the drawer, on how to store it. I would also encourage people, sir, and I do this constantly, to have some sort of a locking safe in your home to keep your firearm secure. You don't want it in a drawer. You don't want to stash it in a closet or put it under your mattress. You don't want to do anything like that. You want to have some kind of a lockable device. So, you know, especially if you have children in the house, but you want to have a lockable device so a would-be thief can't get in and get your weapon, or somebody that's not authorized to handle your weapon gets it. but you want to get as much shooting training as you can. You want to take multiple classes from beginner to intermediate, and you want to shoot, you know, 1,000, 2,000 rounds in these classes to make sure that you understand how your firearm operates. You know, I've seen people so many times shoot for the first time, and, you know, if they get a larger caliber handgun, it kicks hard. It takes them a long time to master the gun and actually hit the target that they need to hit. And I could just imagine if you need to use that gun in your household and you start firing off rounds and you don't know how to use it, or you're in public, those rounds go a long, long way. And we don't want innocent civilians walking down the street catching a bullet from somebody that doesn't have any training. So my message is, you know what, if you can afford to buy a gun, get a safe, lock it up, and get as much training as you can. That way, if in fact you ever need to use your firearm, you understand all of the legalities around you, you have that combat mindset, and you also have the skill set to pull that firearm out and use it effectively to make sure that the target that you need to use that firearm on is the one that is on the receiving end of the bullets and not an innocent bystander, sir.
Danny, I couldn't agree more. Of course, we want everyone who possesses a firearm to know how to use it properly and safely. Meanwhile, Biden is pledging his support to Ukraine in his first call with President Zelensky. After Russia sent 4,000 troops to the border, I believe what we have here is Ukraine has actually declared war on Russia, wanting to retake the Crimea. Historically, Ukraine and Crimea were a part of Russia. It was Nikita Khrushchev, who was himself a native Ukrainian, who declared Ukraine to be separate. Prior to the dissolution of the Soviet Union, it didn't make a difference. But since the dissolution, the U.S. has been seeking to exploit their independence, where Zbigniew Brzezinski, in his book, The Grand Chessboard, emphasized how Ukraine was the breadbasket of Russia, and that if you could separate Ukraine from Russia, it would greatly weaken the bear. I believe that was all the bad geopolitical strategy. The Kremlin has been warning NATO not to become involved, but we have this mediocrity Lloyd Austin at the Secretary of Defense declaring that Russia, you know, that the U.S. is going to be unwavering in its support of Ukraine. Where, in fact, during the Obama administration, Victoria Nuland expanded $5 billion of U.S. taxpayers' money to instigate a insurrection in Ukraine that led to the deposing of the Russia-friendly, democratically elected president and replacement with a pro-Western puppet. We have a massive movement of military by Russia to the border. A commentary from a good friend with a lot of excellent contacts: if NATO tries to stick its nose in this, it'll be decimated by Russian military technology. Trump likely won't get involved, probably made a deal in advance to let Russia have its land and people back. The Ukraine, all of it, is rightfully theirs. Meanwhile, we know there's more going on, grenade launchers. Could this be the spark that causes World War III to erupt? Russian and Ukrainian military forces continue to rush toward the conflict zone. To describe things as tense would be an understatement. When Ukrainian President Zelensky signed Decree Number 117-2001 on March 24th, it was essentially a declaration of war against Russia. Since that time, Russian forces have been massing along the border in numbers we've never seen before. Video after video of Russian tanks, military vehicles, and troops being moved to the conflict zone have been posted on social media. If the Russians were to launch a full-blown invasion, the Ukrainians would be totally outmatched, so they would ask the U.S. and NATO to intervene. Since March 24th, there have been hundreds of ceasefire violations, but it cannot be violated any longer because it officially expired on April 1st. Here's an English translation of a report going on in areas of responsibility. The Operational and Tactical Group East, the occupiers opened fire with grenade launchers, large caliber machine guns, and small arms. In the area of responsibility known as North, invaders fired at our position with automatic machine gun fire and handheld anti-tank grenade launchers. From this point forward, there will probably be regular reports of fighting on both sides. The author here, I believe, is Saker, who's really an expert on military affairs, regards it as a really bad sign that the separatists in eastern Ukraine have just announced those born from 1994 to 2003 will be conscripted for military service. The EU is adding that to date, the Russian Federation has launched yet another conscription campaign in the illegally annexed Autonomous Republic of Crimea and the city of Sevastopol to draft residents of the peninsula in the Russian Federation armed forces. These are very alarming developments because they indicate the Russians and separatists in eastern Ukraine believe that an extended military conflict is approaching. Of course, the Russians wouldn't actually need any new conscripts to defeat Ukraine. The Russian military is vastly superior. Not only that, but even the Ukrainian commander-in-chief believes there are more than 32,000 Russian troops in Crimea, in addition to 2,800 troops in eastern Ukraine. That's 60,000 troops, mind you. The new defense secretary, Lloyd Austin, however, has declared by phone to Ukraine's Minister of Defense unwavering U.S. support for Ukraine's sovereignty. This is very, very bad. If the Russians were to actually launch a full-scale ground invasion, there would be nothing the U.S. could do to stop it. The U.S. could, however, decide to strike back militarily in other ways, which could set off a chain reaction that might result in global war. The corporate media of the United States loved to bash the Trump administration, but while Trump was in the White House, there was never a threat of World War II on the verge. Unfortunately, the warmongers in the Biden administration now running the show seem to think they can push the Russians around, but if they miscalculate even just a little, it could have disastrous consequences for us all. Danny, your thoughts?
Well, you can see that the globalists are getting involved in this, sir. And, you know, it's very concerning. It almost looks like Ukraine is doing this to maybe draw the U.S. in to support them. Maybe it's a way to get a conflict going. I don't know all of the details, but you know what? It doesn't make any sense to me when I sit back and I look at a country like Ukraine with limited resources to be doing this to or messing around with Russia. Russia, at any time they wanted, overwhelmingly could come in there and wipe them out with their air power alone. We know what Russia has for the most part. I mean, they have weapons of mass destruction. So Ukraine would be wiped out in a quick hurry. I'm not sure exactly what the motive is here all of a sudden. And why is this happening now? It was a good point that you brought up. Why is this happening now and not happening when Donald Trump was in power? You know, some argue, is he in power? Is he not in power still? What exactly is going on? That's a whole another can of worms. But, you know, the timing is highly suspicious of this. And why now? And I think Americans need to keep their eye on this and they need to speak up, that we don't get drawn into a conflict on this. You know, if Ukraine gets into a mess with Russia, it's on them. And NATO needs to stay out of this. It's none of their business. And I'm not sure what the driving factor is on this, sir, but it reeks of globalism. It reeks of just trying to get a conflict started, which we all know that's what they want.
Well, let me address, you know, the powers behind the throne. I mean, Biden is obviously a puppet. We know the Israelis control the mainstream media. We know they went all in to protect Biden by concealing the Hunter Biden laptop information and did everything they could to trash Trump. We know that what's going on at our southern border has parallels to the Kalergi plan in Europe, which was devised back in like 1935 to infiltrate Europe with massive migration from Africa to destroy European culture. And what we have here now in North America appears to be the parallel. I've mentioned before and repeat again, I earlier did research on these allegations that the migrants were walking 1,000 miles to reach the border, which looked absurd on its face. They were certainly in good condition when they got here. They seemed to be reasonably well-dressed. They didn't look like they'd had to suffer the travails of weather and bad food and lack of showers and everything else that accommodates such a large trek. Many of them were wearing sandals or even flip-flops. You can't march 1,000 miles in sandals or flip-flops. And I discovered there were truck convoys that were bringing the migrants within a few miles or even less of the border. And then on the doors of the trucks, Danny, there was the Star of David. Now, in my opinion, and if you listen to what individuals like Bibi Netanyahu have said, even relatively recently, where Bibi explained that America is the golden calf. We're going to suck it dry till there's nothing left but a giant welfare state, which will die slowly because that's what we do with nations we hate. In my opinion, the Zionists are trying to gin up a war between the U.S. and Russia. I've even suggested it has certain parallels with Charlie Manson's Helter Skelter, where he wanted there to be a war between blacks and whites, where he believed that blacks were stronger than whites and would prevail, but they were also dumber, and that they'd need leadership where Charlie and his band would come out of the mountains to lead them. I honestly believe there's a similar vision in the minds of the Israelis. Have the U.S. and Russia destroy themselves, and Israel will emerge as the leader of the world. Danny, your thoughts? This is very, controversial territory, but that's my take. What's yours?
You know, I'm not sure what Israel's mindset is on that. I don't want to go down that road myself.
Danny, you're good, because we're at a break, and I'll give you the number, 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. Call in, Mitchell, field your question, and you can join Danny and me here today.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Ah.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, in Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
They hate the guts.
We got a caller who's getting a jump start here. I'll bring him in momentarily. Let me simply repeat the number: 540-352-4452 to speak with Danny and me. We have Scott from San Diego back. Scott, welcome to the show.
Hey, Jim. Thanks for calling me back. Hey, I had kind of a bone to pick with your guest there when he was discussing about when you guys were talking about the states that were eliminating the concealed carry permit. And I got the the same old impression from him is that you can't just allow anybody to just go buy a gun, because people are kind of stupid and we got to have them licensed and trained, that whole argument, that same thing, the same reasons why they have gun control laws to begin with.
Well, I think Danny simply feels a professional obligation to emphasize the importance of proper training and safety with firearms. The studies show conclusively worldwide that the more gun ownership, the lower the crime rate, homicide rate. In the past, until Canada began banning guns, the U.S. and Canada had the highest gun ownership and the lowest homicide rate. Brazil, opposite, low gun ownership, high homicide rate. Africa, low gun ownership, high homicide rate. Russia, low gun ownership, high homicide rate. And they ignore systematically the defensive use of guns, which is saving hundreds of thousands of American lives every year. They're staging these phony events where I have brought together experts again and again to crack them open, to expose that they're really just being stunts being performed to promote the gun control agenda. One of the contributors to my book on Sandy Hook, for example, Paul Preston, who himself has supervised active shooter drills as a school administrator, was so disturbed by what he saw broadcast from Newtown that day that he reached out to his contacts. And maybe you want to mute until I call you back in. That in the Obama Department of Education, all of whom confirmed to him that it had been a drill, that no children had been harmed, that it was done to promote gun control. That's one example among many. Danny, would you like to add further in response to Scott?
Yeah, I think this question about I want to be clear about that, Dr. Fetzer, and you sort of answered it for me a little bit. You know, all I'm saying about is the concealed carry laws is I'm just advocating that people please get training.
Yes.
I've seen many times, sir, and this is very important. I've seen it up close where there's a gun in the household and there's no training.
Yeah. But something that makes it clear. Right. We're getting so much static in the background, and I keep hearing Paul's voice. Paul, are you here? Does Mitchell not know you're here? Because I asked. I figured you'd be the first to call. Are you here, Paul? Apparently not. Scott, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, no, I agree with Danny. People should get trained. But I think the sticky wicket here is, should they require training? And if they require training, then that entails licensing.
Okay. Yeah.
Sir, if you don't mind, I'm going to finish that. What I'm saying is the training is very important because I can't tell you how many times I've seen a child get a hold of a firearm in a household because of irresponsibility. This happens quite a bit in the inner cities where people acquire firearms.
Who's that low mumbling?
I used to lock it up. I've seen before where a firearm goes off through a window and a neighbor gets struck. You know, I've seen different kind of incidences like this, and that's all I'm saying is somebody needs to make sure that they can lock up their firearm and have a way to secure their firearm and their ammunition to make sure unauthorized personnel can't get to it. And again, to make sure that they go to a shooting range and get competent training by a qualified instructor.
Yep.
To make sure they know how to operate that firearm and hit the target appropriately.
Yes. We got
right,
Drew.
Yes, I agree. I agree with all that.
Good, Scott. You can hang around. We got Chicago Brew here. Brew, join the conversation.
Yeah, this isn't what I wanted to talk about, but, you know, isn't it funny that they're relaxing some of these requirements at a time when they're flooding the country with all foreign nationals? So would they, the same way they allow them to vote just by having a driver's license, oh, now you can vote even though you're not qualified to vote by our laws, but now you can just go and buy a firearm because you showed a driver's license and we're not doing any like extra stringent stuff because we relaxed it just in time for these people to flood the nation. So the problem we have here is we really are in a time of crisis where we don't know who's here, what their intentions are, and, you know, to relax all of a sudden after they've been spending years of building, you know, making it more difficult to acquire and hold on to a firearm, that they're relaxing it at the time when they're flooding the nation with all these foreign nationals.
Do you ever think about that?
Well, Brew, I presume you agree that Americans should be able to defend themselves, and that the Democrats committed an atrocity when they made their platform defund the police. And now gun sales are just skyrocketing, including from Democrats and first-time gun owners. I think it's all to the good.
Dr. Fetzer, you know I don't dispute any of that. You know, I mean... Yeah. Look, as a heritage American, we have the right to bear arms and the freedoms. And I other countries around the world, I wish them the same. And it's unfortunate they've been, you know, those privileges or rights or whatever it is you may call it, have been restricted from them. But here in the United States right now, we're at a time where they're doing their color revolution, the clergy plan, Coward and Piven, and all that stuff is going on right now.
Yeah.
And especially with these mental illness cases, the liberals, they attack you for wearing a mask, man. So now to relax at such a point where these people are so psycho that they, next thing you know, they're not going to spit on you. They're going to pull out a firearm on you. I mean, it's just, we're in a time of just, it's difficult to say what now. I mean, it's hard.
Yeah, Chicago, I want you to stick while I bring in Tony. Tony, contribute, join the conversation.
Oh, are you talking to me?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Professor Fetzer or Jim, I assume you're familiar with this guy, Christopher John Bajerkness.
Tell us about him.
You've never heard of this guy? He's from Chicago.
I don't know. Go ahead and tell us about him. So
anyway, the guy's three-quarter Scandinavian, one-quarter Khazar Jew, and he's been around for years, and he's an author. He just put out a second edition of his book, Beware the World to Come.
Thanks for calling. Give your name and number, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Thanks.
What's this?
Go ahead, Tony.
Please record.
He's an expert in Kabbalah. I don't know what's going on here. He's an expert. He's an expert in Kabbalah. Okay. And if you really want to know what's going on, okay, the driving force behind what's going on right now, the driving force behind the New World Order, the Rothschild New World Order, it's Kabbalah, and it's plain and simple. And you need to go to No More News, Adam Green. There's about a two-hour interview. You should have this guy on your show.
Okay, spell it out a little more. You're talking about Zionist Jewish supremacists running the shop. That I take it. That's
well. It's obviously a takeover of the world. But first, you have to have the takedown of white Western European nations and peoples. Okay, we go first because the best Gentile kill. That's out of the Talmud. But you just got to. You know, this is something you got to listen to. This 2 hour. You could buy his book, Beware the World to Come, or 2 hours on No More News. .org or .com, Adam Green. I'm sure you're familiar with the guy, but you should have this guy on. And what's so mind-boggling about this, and when I tell you this, you'll scoff at this, of what the end game of this all is, of what's going on. And I know you're not going to believe this, but this guy comes up with a lot of evidence. It's to have, literally, you know, we've heard of the Jewish utopia, where, you know, the Jews have a world of their own. But it even goes beyond this, the sickness and the mental depravity of what the end game is that they want 600,000 androgynous Jews living in Israel, okay, and this is going to come out of the Sephardim, and believe it or not, he's saying that the Ashkenazim, you know, which are most Jews, are just totally convert, they're fake Jews, they're from Khazaria, they're going to be wiped out too. And I'm actually wondering if this the reason that they're vaccinating, you know, Israel, mass vaccination of Israelis, which in my it's proven to me, I feel that they're getting, you know, they're getting a placebo vaccine, that they're not going to wipe themselves out. But then I listen to this guy, I'm actually thinking, wait a second, you actually think they're gonna wipe out the Ashkenazim Jews, which are 90%? But this is all coming from the Sephardim, and it's a Chabad Lubavitch project, okay? And this is where you and I differ a little bit, Professor Fetzer. You know, Trump is not the money filthy, disgusting traitor, okay? And he was controlled by Chabad Lubavitch the whole 4 years through his son-in-law, you know. I mean, this guy is trash. I'm sorry. He gave the country, including the entire Republican Party. You know, it's just
this. Is probably going to agree with you, Tony. Paul, join the conversation.
Hey, thanks for getting me on. I don't know what's going on with the phone, believe me. It's nothing to do with me, and I wasn't even on. In fact, I was prevented from calling for some reason for the first 5 minutes. Hey, Tony, good to hear you, man. I miss your calls on Stormfront. I always resonate.
I stopped calling to that years ago because, you know, I'm just not going to tolerate Don Black and his insanity that every one of these Jew false flags are for real. Okay, that's intolerable to me, especially when he only lived about 25 miles from, you know, the false flag down at in Parkland, you know, and he's, oh, it's for real. No, I stopped calling in that a long time ago. A lot of people got very dissatisfied with his derangement that, yeah, every one of these Jew false flags are for real. So that, but I knew, yeah, anyway, you, that's...
How can anyone still believe Parkland's real, Tony? That's just unbelievable,
well,
Tony.
I don't know if the guy ever changed his mind, but, you know, he at the time he did, and he lives 25 miles north of the place. That's a deal breaker for me.
Yeah, Paul, go ahead. Go ahead, Paul, then I'll come back to Brew. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, just quickly. So, I mean, for those who don't know, but I went at it with Don quite a few times on some of these false events. I remember the first time I got hung up there. Jim, you hanging up on me is nothing new. So, yeah, Don Black is hung up on me at least a couple of times, because one time I was just getting so upset, and I actually said to him, I go, "Don't you people have the internet?" And I think shortly after that, I heard the clicker. You know, here's the one thing. We got limited time, and there's a number of things I would love to respond to, but let's get something straight here, okay? I sent you that that clip. You probably got it from other people, Jim, the guy in Calgary, and I love it. I love that kind of spirit. This is what we need.
Yeah.
But he got it exactly wrong calling them Nazis, and I know it's not his fault. We've all been brainwashed.
Oh, Paul, I know. Don't worry about that. Paul, he's training on the popular stereotype.
I have limited time. Let me finish my thought for everybody listening, just in case you don't know. So the Nazis, the Germans, helped to rebuild churches in the Ukraine that the communists had destroyed, okay? And when they helped the Spanish Civil War was nothing but the same thing we're seeing here. It was a Jewish insurrection. It was a Jewish attempted color revolution in Spain, where a friend of mine in the 90s showed me pictures that I was flabbergasted to see, where they dug up coffins from church graveyards, from church cemeteries, and desecrated the bodies of nuns and priests. They were destroying churches in Spain. So the Germans were overwhelmingly Catholic and Christian. So I would just love to wave my magic wand. We can start calling these people communists or Cheka or something else like that. Anyway, part of what I had to say. Thanks.
Let me bring back Brew, and then I'll come back to you, Paul. Brew, go ahead, your thoughts further. Sure.
Yeah, you and Danny touched on the Capitol thing. Now, I'm surprised that Danny didn't find it an easier target to do research on the alleged officer, that Capitol Police officer that was allegedly killed. Did he do any research on that?
Well, he may have. He's really good at that. Danny, your thoughts?
I have not been able to find anything on him yet. I'm still looking. It's really troubling, sir, on all these kind of events. Again, I explained on other shows, and I'll explain it again on this show. I try to look at both sides. I try to immediately find them. And when I look at, you know, local events or other events in Chicago, I often run the names, and I get everybody's name. But in this particular event, I cannot find the officer. And I think I said that in the last show. And I cannot find this Noah Green either. You know, I checked the United States Forum, and I ran the whole entire database. I can't find him. I also cannot find the officer. The only thing I could think of is some reason if he's in some other obscure state and he's on loan. But I don't think so. I'm pretty sure the Capitol Police live and work in D.C. or adjacent Maryland, and I have not been able to locate anything on him in those areas. So that was another contributing factor to why I thought that this could possibly be a false flag, because I couldn't find him anywhere, sir.
Very good.
Like you said, in the one in Colorado, you were usually finding that you couldn't find that officer. And as Paul, as you said, you even have to be registered to have a guard card and all this other stuff. And with the George Floyd case. So I would think the Capitol Police officer would be the easiest target with such a narrow niche to go by. And before I go, look, you got to remember with Ukraine, they elected a Jewish president who happened to have been a comedian, a TV actor. He's a comedian, but now he's declaring war against Russia. Look, it's just they put all these Jewish Kazarians in power, even in our own states of America, United States of America. A lot of these governors now are oligarch Jewish or lesbian or transgender, even in some cases. So
I think a lot of them are only in office because of manipulating the electronic voting machines. I mean, you know, that's obviously the case here with Biden and Harris, for God's sake. But it appears to be the case in many, many gubernatorial races that they've been manipulated as well. Tony, did you want to add a further thought here?
Yeah, just one last thought. I author the website vaccinehoax.com. On Saturday I did my third vaccine death center protest. Believe it or not, people are starting to catch on. I think this announcement of this vaccine passport that a few people have heard about, it's starting to really hit people about the direction that we're going. And now that the weather has changed, I'll be doing a vaccine death center protest at least 3 to 4 to 5 times a week. But one last thing, if you want to see, if you're not going in the direction of the Kabbalah, okay, that is where the game plan from the Rothschild New World Order takedown is coming from. It's straight out of Kabbalah. I'm going to say one last thing, I'm going to let you go. You can, if you don't want to bother on BitChute or anything, you can go to vaccinehoax.com, go to the New World Order button, okay, and I have that video up there from nomorenews.com. Christopher John Bjerknes, beware the world could come. And Professor, I know you're a busy guy, you have to listen to this video and you have to get this guy on your show, because you'll see it right there. You will just be stunned, you'll be floored, that the whole takedown is coming straight out of that Kabbalah Zohar. And I'll let you go. Thanks for calling.
I'm very glad you called in, Tony. Excellent, good comments. Paul, your thoughts?
Yeah, and just quickly, Tony, if you're still listening or you listen to the show later, I appreciate you, and I think many of us should appreciate the work that you do. So just quickly, Jim, on the Ukraine-Russia thing. So, you know, many years ago I had a Russian girlfriend. She was from Russia anyway, and I learned a little bit, but the bottom line is that Ukraine and Russia are two different peoples and two different places. They do have some common similarities in history, but they speak a different language in the Ukraine. The Ukraine is more predominantly Aryan, or what they call white Russians. Russia in general was much more Slavic. Now, of course, the Aryans and the Slavics are the same, a part of the same white race, but they're actually a little bit different sorts of people. And Russia has thrown its weight around for a long time, and the Ukrainians resent it. And the fact of the matter is that it was the Ukrainians that were starved to death under Stalin. And by the way, it's a point worth remembering that it took a long time to get there from the October 1917 revolution to the Harvest of Despair, which was 32 and 33. And of course, let's not forget the Civil War from 1918 to 1923. There's no telling how many people died in that Civil War, and that was mostly the white Russians fighting back. So there's lots of history and lots of bad blood that the average American Bubus Americanus does not know. So that's worth keeping in mind one.
Yeah, I'm glad you threw that into the pot. That's a big deal. Brew, your thoughts? Brew, are you still here?
Yeah, you caught me off guard. So, I got nothing more to add. I think pretty much a lot of it's said. Tony, if you're still listening, get your stuff fixed. I've been trying to have Tony get back on my show again to talk about vaccinehopes.com and the work he's been doing.
Good. Let me see if Mitchell perchance would like to add any further thoughts of his own. Mitchell, any thoughts you'd like to contribute?
Oh gosh. We've been so brainwashed. And we've been so manipulated with many different psychological operations. The mind and the will of the people are soft. I don't know what's going to happen. All I know is that people have a bad case of learned helplessness and dependency. And I don't know how it's going to end. Probably not well.
Probably not well. Paul, for the thoughts.
Not well for some. It's hard,
Danny.
To say. I have.
My apologies, Paul. Danny had a further add. Go ahead, Danny.
Yeah, sure.
Sir, I just want to make sure everybody understands that, getting back to the firearm thing, because I didn't know if I'd be able to finish up today. But, you know, what's extremely troubling that I'm noticing is a pattern, and I'm pretty good at seeing these patterns. And I'm seeing in these inner cities, particularly, I'm seeing criminals doing the most brazen things that I've ever seen in my life. I've seen some pretty brazen things, but now I'm starting to see random brazen acts that are unbelievable. For instance, in Tennessee, there was a black woman that was upset with her wait in the Burger King drive-thru. You know, and while they were preparing her food, she just didn't like the wait. She got out of her car, sir, leaned into the drive-thru window, pulled out a gun, and started firing at the workers in the store.
Yuck.
Who thankfully were able to get out.
How god-awful is that?
We're seeing these kind of crimes around the United States where these criminals have no concern, and there's a point to this, they have no concern for anybody's life, that they would pull out a firearm. They're legally carrying a firearm, and 99% of them are felons, and we are being attacked. The globalists are releasing felons from prison, and they immediately get firearms, and they're committing these brazen acts against police, citizens in public places, okay? People are innocently are getting hurt by this, and this is a growing trend. And yes, people should get firearms, they should get training, but also people need to be cognizant and mindset of where they're hanging out. They need to keep their eyes open, keep their eyes around their surroundings, and don't be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yes,
and be very mindful. If you live in one of these cities where you're seeing these kind of crimes, you need to be very, very careful about the times of day, the businesses you frequent, and where you are.
Very good. Very good, Dan. We agree with all that. Yeah, Paul, go ahead.
Just a quick reference for Dan. So this is, you know, this is maybe ramping up, but it's long time in the planning. There's a great video that G. Edward Griffin made in the late 60s, I believe, called The Great Prison Break. And he covered, and other people have since done this. This is planned. The revolving door, these people are always repeat offenders. They know that a very small core group of criminals, mostly blacks, for example, commit the vast majority of crimes. And so it's part of the situation where they're going to continue to do this, because they're, it started out to, what, justify the law enforcement budget and, you know, keep the system, you know, give the system something to, you know, to say, hey, we need to, you know, we need to get tough on crime. We need more money. We need more police. The bottom line is this is all easily solvable, but it's made unsolvable on purpose.
Yes, yes, yes. Unsolvable.
I would agree with that 100%, Dr. Fetzer.
Very good, Paul. You got a chance for one further thought here before we have to part. Paul, go ahead.
Okay, Danny, So quickly for what Danny said earlier, Danny, when you said, you know, you pull up the, some of these people like this most recent one and you know, you don't find anything or it's a discongruous, shall we say, that's all you need to know. If you pull up me or you pull up the professor, you're going to get exactly what you're looking for. Miles Mathis made the point one time that everything about him on the internet is accurate down to where he went to kindergarten. So if you're not finding something,
Danny, I want to thank you and all the callers, Paul and Lou and
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect,
the Perfect Triangle.
Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.